to you all in Jesus' precious name. I realize we've just prayed, but it would help me if we prayed again. Amen. Father, thank you so much in the name of Jesus for the unsearchable privilege and blessing to be gathered together in a congregation of believers to look into your word. Thank you for your mercy, your faithfulness. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, do good with my shallow thoughts. Anoint that which you've given to me. Anoint all of our ears. Cause your word to accomplish that which you desire and intend. Bless us, each and every one. Amen. I seemingly have a somewhat simple or basic opening thought for a text. I'd like us to look in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Probably familiar to many people, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And outside of the Bible being God's word, outside of the fact that what we've just read was inspired by the Holy Ghost, this is some very practical counsel. This verse reminds us that we're mortal. This verse reminds us that we have a certain amount of time given to us here on earth to accomplish something. So very, very practical, very reasonable, very, very good advice, just in the words of this verse. But one of the wonders of it is that it's not just good advice. It's not just practical. It's not just reasonable. This is a portion of God's Word. And this morning, my thought is sticks. I'd like to talk about sticks. And in my mind, sticks are not glamorous. Sticks kind of get in the way. I'm imagining doing yard work or mowing the lawn, and there are sticks that have fallen out of the trees because of the wind or storm or something, and they're in the way. They're bothersome, and to stop what I want to do, to interrupt what I'd like to get done quickly so that I can do other things, to stop and to pick up sticks, to gather sticks, that is not a glamorous thing. That is not an enjoyable thing in my mind. That's my picture. And that's this verse. Whatever we find to do, do it with our might. And I feel like it was the Lord that helped me look up some things here in the Bible about sticks. And there are some very beautiful things in the Word of God about sticks. For example, in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 17, we encounter that word. It's a very desperate situation. It's a situation I imagine the little widow woman that was involved in it, she would have loved to have been in a different situation. She had just enough meal, just enough oil, for what it sounds like to be one last meal for her and her son. There was no sign of help from any direction, that there was a grievous, a sore famine in the land, that there hadn't been rain for quite some time. Yet, she went out that particular morning and she gathered sticks. And in my mind, this is a picture of faith. Faith has different connotations, different meanings, brings different thoughts to our mind as we look at the Bible. But one meaning, one thought about faith is that it's simply duty. In one place, I believe it's Luke chapter 17, the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and asked that their faith be increased. And the Lord spoke a parable to them about a servant and that servant's master. And the parable, in my mind, was really a parable about duty. That a servant doesn't come in from doing his work and then the master tell that servant that he can go and refresh himself, but rather the master says, refresh me. In other words, keep doing your duty and then go and refresh yourself. And so here we have a desperate situation. This little woman, in her mind, I can only imagine that there's no hope, that there's no dawn on the horizon, but yet she continues in her duty. And I don't think her continuation in her duty was lifeless. I believe she was thankful, she was content, she was determined to do with what she had to do, what she could do. If those combinations of words just made any sense. Amen. Of course, we all know the rest of the story. A man appeared as she was gathering sticks. And of course, the Bible is full of lessons. But this is more than just a lesson in duty and a lesson in faith. This story actually happened in reality. And that man said, go fetch me a drink of water. And as she was going, he said, bring me a morsel to eat. And so she explained to him, I don't think it was in disgust or despair, but she just explained to him the situation. I've just got enough for me and my son, and then we're going to die. In other words, there is no help. There's no recovery. There's no refreshing on the horizon. And this brings to mind the widow woman that cast her two mites into the treasury. What must have gone through her mind, what she needed those two mites for, and yet she just surrendered them to God. Amen. And so of course the man was Elijah. He understood the situation, and he told her, said, go fetch me a morsel, make me a cake first, and then you and your boy, you eat. Of course, the Lord commanded that Elijah, that widow woman, her son, be sustained until there was rain. And this morning, I'm blessed, I'm challenged by that thought, that in doing our duty faithfully for God, that there may come times that it seems like our duty is not enough. And there may come times that it seems like duty is not glamorous. Of course, the mind might wander to other attempts, other paths. But the truth of the matter is, duty according to God's word, will always bring sustenance and refreshing. Amen. We encounter Styx again in the book of 2 Kings, in chapter 6. And I believe the word is singular there, Styx. And it's another prophet of God, Elisha. And the sons of the prophets have come to Elisha, and they explain to him the place that they're dwelling with Elisha is just too straight. And my Bible has a reference there in the column, narrow or constrained. And so they want to go out, and they want to build another place. And they all take a beam, the Bible says, with them, and they're cutting down beams also to build this place. And the axe head falls off the handle, as I understand it, and falls into the water. And of course it sinks, it's iron. And the Bible says Elisha cuts a stick and throws it on the water, and the iron swims. And I have a picture in my mind of patience here. I believe it's James talks about thinking about or meditating upon or considering the prophets as a picture, as a lesson of patience. And here's this man, Elisha. And as we read about him and we read about his ministry, there's death in the pot. There's incursions by the foreign power of Syria. There's apostasy. There's backsliding. There's unbelief. There's doubt. There are all of these things around him. And in his dying days, it seems like I don't know the word. There's lethargy. There's slothfulness. As Elisha is sick on his deathbed, the king visits him, and Elisha says, "Take arrows and smite on the ground." And the king smites three times, and Elisha is disappointed. Said, "Why didn't you smite five or six times?" Elisha, that's his life, that's his ministry in Israel at that time, and so to me, that's a picture of patience. That Elisha works all through his life against discouraging circumstances, against seemingly setback after setback. But he keeps going. He keeps working. And of course, there in Romans chapter 5, it talks about patience, working experience, and experience, working hope, and hope making not ashamed. And then over in Romans, maybe it's before that, maybe it's chapter 4 of Romans, talks about the hope of Abraham. And in some way, Abraham hoped against hope. In other words, that there was no reason to hope for anything good. But Abraham chose to hope anyway. And as I read about Elisha, Elisha is tremendously encouraging. But as I take my eyes off Elisha and read about everything else, there is no reason to see any hope in Israel, any hope in that situation. But Elisha strikes me as a man that continued to hope, that chose to hope, and all of his efforts and all of his labors were in hope. And one might say, well, did it make a difference? Did it do any good? Israel was still carried away captive. Well, I really appreciated what Chris brought out this morning about Judah and Israel cleaving to the Lord, and the Lord cleaving to them, rather. And yes, hope is always valuable. Hope is always needed. Hope always brings a good result in the end. Amen. And then Styx appears in the New Testament in Acts chapter 28. And again, in my mind, I've got this picture. Just Styx are in the way. It is not a glamorous job. It is not a glamorous duty. It's menial work, task work, just out there clearing them. There's a shipwreck in Acts chapter 28. Paul and his company are on that ship. And Paul has been courteously treated by his captor, by the chief, the centurion, as I understand. But Paul's a prisoner. And Paul is absolutely positively viewed as a criminal and as a prisoner. And as that ship breaks up in the sea, and as they make their way to shore, some of the soldiers, their counsel, their mind is to kill the prisoners because they don't want the prisoners to escape. And as I understand that, if the prisoners escape, the soldiers are responsible for that. And so it's their life for the prisoner's life. And so it'd be understandable in those circumstances why the soldiers would think that. But the Bible says some way the centurion willing to save Paul alive kept the soldiers from their purpose. So there they are, stranded. And the Bible identifies the people of the island on which they are stranded as barbarous. And so I have in my thoughts a picture of love. There's the saying, some people are easier to love than others. And so in my mind, soldiers, centurions, shipmates, men that would work at sea, barbarians, they are not necessarily tender-hearted, a soft, agreeable people. And yet we find Paul immediately after that shipwreck gathering Styx. Not glamorous. Gathering Styx to help build a fire and help the people. And of course, it's a good moral story. All the Bible is a good moral story. But there's much, much more to the Bible than fables and morality. And of course, a viper came out of the heat. And Paul shook it off. And God used that circumstance to bring the gospel to a barbarous people, bring health and healing to a barbarous people. And so I reckon this morning, of course, I brought out faith, hope, and charity. And Corinthians brings that out. But now abideth faith, hope, and charity. So if I could encourage us and myself, hope really got to me. I tend to be sort of pessimistic, sort of gloomy, and looking at Elisha, that really got to me. I could be a more hopeful person. So my hope this morning is to bless and encourage us all. Pick up a Styx. And I understand a lot of you have probably been doing that all week or most of the week. God bless you. Amen. there is a reward unsearchable in that labor. Amen. God bless you all.